Fast Baptist Church, Lord, thank you for allowing us to be here. Thank you for all the souls that have been won. I just pray that you would bless the preacher, fill him with your Holy Spirit, Lord, to preach your word unto us and let us receive it and to make applicable changes in our lives. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Well, it's good to be here this morning. First off, I just want to thank Pastor Shelley for giving me this opportunity to preach in the house of God. It's a great honor and privilege to be here with all of you this morning. Me and my wife just moved to Steadfast Baptist Church, so if you haven't come and met us yet, we're not going to bite. We're nice. We'll greet you. We have been serving at Sure Foundation Baptist Church the past 6 years faithfully, and we decided to move down here. We love the church. We love Steadfast. We love the weather. We love everything about Texas. It's just a great place. Maybe one of the greatest places I've ever lived in my life. I grew up in Ohio. I grew up in Amish country, but it's not as good as Texas, all right? I'm not Amish, so don't be scared. I just grew around them. So moving from Amish country to Portland, Oregon was a huge shock. So that was very shocking. Ohio to Portland, Oregon is very different. But we love Texas. We're glad to be here. We love Steadfast. But we're in James chapter 1. Let's look at verse 22. It says, "But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." And the title of my sermon this morning is Be Doers of the Word. Be Doers of the Word. Now, this is a very, very important doctrine in the Word of God, and I believe that this is the main reason why Christians fall away or don't endure until the end in their Christian life, is because they are only a hearer as a Christian. They don't put it into practice, okay? And isn't it true today that only a few people are serving God? Only a few people actually want to go out into the fields and labor for Jesus Christ and get people saved. A lot of people show up to church. A lot of people love hearing the Word of God. They think it's entertaining, but they don't actually put it into practice, and they don't follow the commandments, okay? Now, Jesus Christ himself taught us that a few people are actually doing the work. In Matthew 9, verse 37, it says, "Then saith he unto his disciples, The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." So, Jesus Christ himself knows that there are few people in this world actually putting in the work, okay? And he wants people to go out into the field and labor in his harvest and see souls won and people saved. And that's why we love Steadfast Baptist Church, is because there are a lot of doers of the work around here, people who actually labor, who actually want to serve God and win souls and further the kingdom of God. But this doctrine of being a doer, a worker, being diligent to keep God's commandments, it's all over the Bible. I mean, you could almost just open your Bible and that doctrine is pretty much there. So it's a consistent theme that God wants us to do works. So who tuned in to the King James Conference this week? Anyone? Man, the whole building should be raising their hands right now. Shame on you! No. The King James Conference was amazing. All right, and Pastor Shelley's preaching there this morning. I mean, I am so thankful that we have a trustworthy, reliable Bible. I mean, my family grew up Christian. We went to a non-denominational Baptist. Or, good night, I'm all mixed up. There are no non-denominational Baptist churches. They're just non-denominational. But I grew up on the NIV, and I read the NIV, but I could never just quite understand it. It was always like kind of going over my head. It was confusing. It just wasn't clear, and there was just something off about it. It's just not trustworthy. It's not reliable. And I'm just so thankful that I'm around Christians who believe that we have God's perfect, preserved Word of God, and we can rely on and trust it, and it's great. It has everything we need that pertains to life and godliness. And there's no confusion, no corruption, no contradictions, no deception, but the modern versions, that's exactly what it is. Right. Corruption, deception, confusion. God is not the author of confusion. So if we want to be doers of the word, we have to have the right Bible in our hands. Yep. We have to know what God says in order to do what God says. Right. So I believe that we have it. There's nothing missing. It's in our hands. And God providentially made it so that the English population would have the Word of God and that we can preach it with boldness, with the Holy Spirit, and it be true and it gets people saved. And that is the power of God, the gospel. And as Christians, it is vital that we take hold of this doctrine and not waste our calling to preach the gospel. We have a great opportunity as Christians to go out and do much work for Him. And God should be applying the message to your life every single week, no matter what the message is. There is some way, somehow you can apply the message. You can go out and preach that message to people when you're going soul winning. You might have a hang up, but if you were paying attention to the sermon, and if you purpose it in your heart that you're going to preach that truth to someone one day, you might, yeah, you're applying it to your life. And that's exactly what God wants you to do. Don't be a forgetful hearer and leave church and not do the work of God. We need to be doers of the word. Okay? Now, my first point this morning is preaching is not for your personal entertainment. Okay? Preaching is not for your personal entertainment. Preaching is not only for you. Okay? Well, it is geared towards the individual, but we are a team here at Steadfast Baptist Church. You shouldn't just come to church and just be entertained by the preaching. Now, Pastor Shelley, he's an amazing preacher, and he's pretty entertaining. He says a lot of great things, things that are going to help you in your life. He drops a few cuss words here and then, which is, a lot of people hate that, but it's pretty cool. It's entertaining, right? But at the end of the day, we should not just be coming to church to just be wanting to hear something cool or something entertaining. We're here to hear the word of God. We are here to serve God and to do the works. Now, turn to Ezekiel 33. Ezekiel 33. Steadfast Baptist Church is not here to entertain you. Ezekiel 33. Look at verse 30. Ezekiel 33:30 says, "Also thou son of man, the children of thy people still are talking against thee by the walls and in the doors of the houses, and speak one to another, every one to his brother, saying, Come, I pray you, and hear what is the word that cometh forth from the Lord. And they come unto thee as the people cometh, and they sit before thee as my people, and they hear thy words, but they will not do them. For with their mouth they show much love." They're saying amen. They love the preaching. They're agreeing with it. All those things, they show much love, but their heart goeth after their covetousness. So as soon as they agree with the preaching, they yell amen, they're leaving church, and they're just worldly. They just are serving mammon. They just love covetousness. All they love is money. They didn't really come to church to apply the word to their lives. Let's keep reading. "And lo, thou art unto them as a very lovely song of one that hath a pleasant voice, and can play well on an instrument. For they hear thy words, but they do them not." So the idea here is people are coming to hear Ezekiel preach, not to apply the word to their lives, but for entertainment. You know, they enjoy it, but they're still worldly and going after their covetousness. Now we as Christians, this is a trap that we could potentially fall into. When we hear biblical preaching, we hear the commandments of the Lord, but we just don't do it. We're not applying it to our lives. Now, listening to preaching is not a bad thing. God is all for knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Now, we should fear the Lord. We should come to church to gain wisdom and knowledge. But that's not the only thing, even though that's good. And here at Steadfast Baptist Church, we can be spoiled with really good preaching, can't we? We can be spoiled with really good, you know, deep dives into the Word of God. And, well, you know, He's serving up a silver platter with some of these doctrines and some of these sermons from the Word of God. And it's delightful. We think it's honey. It's sweet. We're Christians. We love the Word of God. But let's not get spoiled by it and just come and be entertained by it. Let's put it into practice. So, and also church, not only is it for not for your personal entertainment, it's not to just come and eat, drink, and be merry either. You know, it's not to just come eat ice cream cones and brisket every Sunday, if you're expecting that. But I know we love that as Texans, is that we love the brisket, man. And the brisket down here is unlike anywhere in this world. It's great. But you shouldn't just be looking forward to a potluck at church. You should be coming here to hear the word of God, and to not forget it and to apply it to your life. Turn to Matthew chapter 5. Now, don't listen, if you tuned into the King James Conference, don't just listen to that and be a forgetful hearer. I mean, the King James Conference, it was entertaining. A lot of good sermons were preached at the King James Conference. But hopefully you weren't just sitting on the couch with chips on your chest and just, you know, eating popcorn or something and just sitting there, you know, just for entertainment. You should be taking notes. You should be in your Bible as they preach. You know, you should be applying all of the things that they taught to your life. And if you speak Spanish, Pastor Mejia's sermon was perfect for you. If you speak Spanish, that's how you apply and be using the Spanish Bible in your own life. And that's a goal of mine, is to learn Spanish. I'm always motivated by all of you Spanish speakers. But, I mean, there are corrupt Spanish Bibles out there that we should stray away from, just like the English Bibles. There's a corrupt, modern version of the Spanish Bible, the Reina Valera Gomez, the Reina Valera 1960 is corrupt, and the Gomez is right. Amen. So, great sermon, you should go tune into that. Now, you're in Matthew chapter 5. Look down at verse 13. Matthew 5:13 says, ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Now, imagine going to work tomorrow, and your employer comes to you and says, hey, I need you to get X, Y, and Z done today. Get it done. And you're like, okay, I'll get it done. And you're trying to be a good worker, but you end up taking 10 bathroom breaks. You end up taking 5 smoke breaks. If you still smoke, you need to repent of that and get to work. But you're just lazy. Imagine if you were to not get those tasks done, what's end up going to happen to you? You're going to get fired. Your employer is going to show up the next day, and he's going to be like, what were you doing all day? Why did you waste your time? I told you to get X, Y, and Z done. Why weren't you doing it? Whether that's, you know, cleaning the toilet or there's a lot of programmers here, whether that's getting programming done. Whatever your job is, you should get the job done. Now, imagine you just being lazy. Your boss thinks that you're just good for nothing. You're just useless at that point. What's the point of me just having you around if you're not even going to do any work for me? So the same mindset goes with God. God thinks, what are you doing? You know, why are you so useless? Why aren't you putting my task, my commandments into practice? You're going to be good for nothing, cast out, and to be trodden under foot of men. So it's possible for you to be wiped out by God if you're not keeping the commandments, not being a doer of the work. So you're basically a good-for-nothing Christian at that point. Okay? That's why this doctrine is so vital, because we shouldn't just come to church and hear the word of God. We should apply it to our lives. Which leads me to my next point. My next point is, doing the word or doing the work is equivalent with blessings from God. If you do God's commandments, you will be blessed. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. And I believe I'm sitting in a room, preaching in a room today where people have done the word of God, and I see a room full of blessed people. Families, children, everyone's well-groomed, well-dressed, everyone has houses. I mean, we have so many blessings, we can't even count them all. But why is that? Because we love the Lord? It's because we keep his commandments? It's because we've actually applied it to our lives? And that's exactly what the Lord wants us to do. Deuteronomy chapter 6, look at verse 1. Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that you might do them in the land whether you go to possess it, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee in the land that floweth milk and honey. Skip down to verse 17. Ye shall diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God, and his testimonies and his statutes, which he hath commanded thee. And thou shalt do that which is right and good in the sight of the Lord, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest go in and possess the good land which the Lord sware unto thy father. So just over and over and over again, if you read the book of Deuteronomy, there's a lot of commandments. There are a lot of big commandments, small commandments. But the main theme here is that you diligently keep the commandments of the Lord. And if you do, and if you do right, and if you do good in the sight of the Lord, he will bless you. Okay? Let's skip down to verse 24. I love this verse. And the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always. I just love that right there. If we keep the commandments, it's for our own good. It's for our own good always. I mean, who wouldn't want that? That he might preserve us alive as it is at this day, and it shall be our righteousness if we observe to do all these commandments before the Lord our God as he hath commanded us. So again, it's just reiterated. We should keep the statutes, keep the fear of the Lord, and do good. And if we do that, we will be blessed. This is why you don't want to just come to church, hear the word of God, and leave and forget it, okay? And it also said in James chapter 1 that if you're a doer of the word, this man shall be blessed in his deeds. So if you keep the word of God and continue in it, you will have a blessed life. And there's been countless of my friends and Christians that I've known who they come to church, we invite them to church, and they come for a while, and they endure for a while, but they end up falling away. In our church, I went to Sure Foundation Baptist Church for the past 6 years, and we are teaching soul winning. We are teaching doing works for God all the time. So it's like they hear that, but they never apply it to their life, okay? Now, if you're someone who just comes to church, you should try to get a soul winning presentation going. You should try to memorize verses. You should try to preach to someone for your first time. If you haven't done it, try to work towards that goal. And this is a major commandment from God, is that we go out into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And if you're lacking in that area, work towards preaching the gospel. I remember when I first heard about soul winning, I had gone out as a silent partner. I had gone out a couple times and heard my partner preach the gospel. But I was still a senior in high school. So throughout my week of school, I would actually sit in class and memorize Bible verses. I would just sit there while the class was going on, and I would write down and memorize the gospel presentation verses to memory. And that's how I learned. I had so much time back then compared to now. I mean, raising a family and going to work every day is not like just sitting in school in class all day. I thought I had no time back then, but I had scores of time. But that's how I memorized the Bible in order to go out soul winning. So if you're still in school, if you're still in homeschool, now's the time to do it. Start memorizing those verses. Start reading your Bible. Start going out and preaching the gospel. You have so much time right now. It's unbelievable. Once you grow up, you're going to be paying the bills. And you're going to be working that 8-hour shift, that 12-hour shift. And you're going to wish you had school back. Yep. You're going to wish you had school back. You have the time, young people. Now, us adults, we still have time. We just got to, like, block it out of our day and turn the phone off and turn the texts and calls off and really dig down and get home and get our word in, you know? Get the word in, and if you need to memorize verses, memorize verses if you haven't gone soul winning yet. You just got to do the work. Turn to Matthew 5. Matthew 5 with me. Now, as Christians, we should always be striving for perfection. Should be striving for perfection. Now, this is not striving to be sinless, but to be complete, to be the full package as a Christian. The Bible says that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, correction, for instruction in righteousness, and that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So the Bible is here to teach us how to be perfect, how to be thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Now, Matthew chapter 5, verse 19, Jesus Christ made it very clear that if we don't dismiss even the smallest commandments, we may be potentially the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And that's pretty motivating. It says in Matthew 5:19, "Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them," notice that, "do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven." Now, turn to Deuteronomy 22. Deuteronomy 22. Now, Jesus points out to us that there are least commandments. And if you do and teach even the smallest commandments, you will be considered great. Now, I love Steadfast Baptist Church also because Pastor Shelley preaches the whole counsel of God. He leaves no stone unturned. He's going to preach on any verse, and he's not afraid to do so. Now, what is he doing there? He's preaching the least commandments. He's preaching the commandments that people are not very familiar with or that may be obscure. He is bringing them up, and that is to our own benefit. Because if he teaches and does the least of the commandments, then he's going to be great in the kingdom of heaven. And if we do and follow that example, we will be great in the kingdom of heaven if we keep the least commandments. Now, there are a lot of commandments that are not preached in churches these days, okay? But steadfast is one of them, and I'm thankful for that. Amen. Now, what may be some of these less commandments, okay? That about women should have long hair and men should have short hair. That's a pretty small commandment. That just comes by nature, though. But it's still commanded that women should have long hair and men should have short hair. About women should wear skirts and dresses. That's going to offend large crowds today if you even say that without providing the Bible verse, Deuteronomy 22:5. But that is a small commandment, that women should not put that on which pertaineth unto a man. What's some other smaller commandments? That women should marry, bear children, guide the house, and be in obedience to their husbands. We should preach that women should bear children, guide the house, and get married young. Okay? Now, that's not what most churches preach. Okay? Most churches say, hey, you need to go to Bible college early on. You need to spend 4 years there. You need to wait to get married. You need to wait to have children. Let me tell you, that's really wicked to say, because the Bible says that we should, once we find a wife with good potential, we should marry them and to not burn. And we should start having children early, because what do they usually teach? That you should use contraceptives. And that's really wicked. We know people personally that they've gone to Bible college for 4 years, and they found their spouse, and then they get married, but then they don't have children for like 5 to 7 years, sometimes even like 10 years. But sometimes to their own regret, because they use contraceptives. So what these churches are teaching can go deep and really wicked and derail a whole family without, you know, I'm sure deep down inside that those ladies would want children. But they're just brainwashed into thinking that they need to hold off from having children, hold off from getting married longer, and then they're like 30 years old and they have no children and sometimes no husband, and it's a sad thing. So we should not use birth control, okay? It's wicked. The old IFB preaches all this junk and all this contraceptive junk and that they should wait on marriage. But, you know, those are keeping smaller commandments. It really is. You know, women should bear children, guide the house, and raise their children, love their husbands, and be obedient to them. Those are small. It's like commandments within marriage. So you're in Deuteronomy 22. Let's look at some seemingly small commandments, but they're still important. Deuteronomy 22, look at verse 1. "Thou shalt not see thy brother's ox or his sheep go astray and hide thyself from them. Thou shalt in any case bring them again unto thy brother." Verse 2, "And if thy brother be not nigh unto thee, or if thou know him not, then thou shalt bring it unto thine house, and it shall be with thee until thy brother seek after it. And thou shalt restore it to him again. In like manner shalt thou do with his ass, and so shalt thou do with his raiment, and with all lost thing of thy brother's, which he hath lost and thou hast found, shalt thou do likewise. Thou mayest not hide thyself." Now, a lot of us in here, we don't have sheep, we don't have cows, we don't have this cattle that we're farming every day. Now, what would be like a modern application of this? If you see your brother's car get stolen, you should report that or try to find your brother and get his car back to him. How about his phone or his wallet? If you see someone steal your brother's wallet and someone's just running away with it, you should try and find that guy and maybe return it to your brother. And if you get the possession, if you get it back, you hold it with you, and you're kind of like a lost and found to your brother. I mean, wouldn't you want someone to find your lost possession and then bring it back to you? And they held it for a day, they held it for a week, they held it for a month. I mean, consider how happy you'd be to find something that was at value to you. You know, I lost my cow, he ran away, but your brother found it, he kept it and returned it. I mean, cattle was money back then. I mean, that was their livelihood. So, I mean, today we use cars to commute to work. If we lose our car, someone steals it, we want that car back. We can't afford to buy a new car. Same with like a phone or a wallet that may have money in it. Let's keep reading. Where are we at here? Verse 4, thou shalt not see thy brother's ass or his ox fall down by the way and hide thyself from them. Thou shalt surely help him up to lift them up again. Now, of course, we don't have cattle. Now, what's a modern day application? What if you see your brother or sister broken down on the side of the road? They fall by the way. They have a flat tire. Their engine blew up. Well, you might need a new car now. But my brother just recently had a flat tire, and I had to go pump it up for him on the side of the highway. Now, if I wasn't here, he'd be really screwed. But, I mean, if you see your brother or your sister fall down by the way, back then it'd be like on their cattle or whatever. But if you see them broken down, hey, you get a call, you get a text, hey, come help me. Go and help them. This is showing kindness and love towards your brother. And it's a seemingly small commandment, but that brother may need money that day or that week, needs to get back to work, you go help him out. Verse 5, the woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man, neither shall a man put on a woman's garment, for all that do so are abomination unto the Lord. Now, we pretty much all know this verse that women should not wear that which pertaineth unto a man, and that is talking about pants, right? And men, I may never, ever see you wearing a dress. You will be, I'm sure Pastor Shelley will back me up on this. He'll kick you out right away. All right? So, men, never wear a dress. That is for women. That is a woman's garment. Verse 6, if a bird's nest chance to be before thee in the way, in any tree or on the ground, whether they be young ones or eggs, and the dam sitting upon the young or upon the eggs, thou shalt not take the dam with the young, but thou shalt in any wise let the dam go and take the young to thee, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest prolong thy days. I mean, it kind of sounds serious. What if I don't take care of these eggs that I chance to see on the side of the road? I mean, like, when God says that thou may prolong thy days, what do we usually think of? We usually think of, like, honoring our father and mother, that we may live a long life. So, I mean, like, if you want to prolong your days, you better be taking care of these nest eggs. Now, this commandment was funny. I was reading it. It kind of seems a little feminine. Like, men, we're probably not paying attention to these little chicky eggs in the nest as we're going down the road or something. But women, they'll be walking through the parks with their kids. And they might see a little chicky egg on the side of the sidewalk. They, you know, the mother's not there or something, but they're showing kindness unto the nest and unto the eggs. And they take it back home and take care of them. Now, what's the principle here? Is that you're kind to animals. You're respectful to animals. You're not just, like, neglecting them. So if you have animals or you see a little nest egg on the side of the road, take care of them. Be kind unto them. Seems small, right? But it's still important. And if God sees you not do that, he's potential that he could not prolong your days. That's what it says. So God even cares for the smallest creatures. Now, look at verse 8. Here's my last small commandment. When thou buildest a new house, then thou shalt make a battlement for thy roof, that thou bring not blood upon thine house. If any man fall from thence, I didn't finish the verse. So that's all I have in my notes. Anyways, it's talking about having safety on the work site. So you should set up safety precautions on the work site. So it seems seemingly small, but I've been in construction for quite some time now, and I've seen some pretty shady things where people are on scaffolding, they're not roped up, they're not tied up, and they could fall and kill themselves. So make sure that you put in safety precautions if you're an employer or an employee. So I worked in a rebar shop for 3 years, and there was some shady stuff going on in that shop. If OSHA would have showed up, we would have been screwed. But, you know, it seems small, but it could get you fired potentially or kill you if you don't keep safety precautions on the job site. Now, that leads me to my next point. Point number three is doing the work avoids atrophy, okay? So if we keep God's word, if we do God's word, we're going to avoid atrophy as a Christian. Now, what's atrophy? Atrophy is a gradual decline in effectiveness or strength due to underuse or neglect, okay? It's a gradual decline in effectiveness or strength due to underuse or neglect. Now, what are some examples of atrophy? Your muscles might atrophy. Who's ever had like a broken arm or leg and they were in a cast for some time? Who's had a cast? Yeah, a few people. Now, as soon as you got that cast off, were you just pumping iron in the weight room like that week? No. It took some time to heal, right? Like, your muscles were probably weak. Why? It's because they sat there and they didn't do anything for quite some time. You weren't using them. You were neglecting them. They were just sitting there. So your muscles atrophied if you don't use them. So you're not just going to be coming back pumping iron in the weight room that week. Okay? It takes some time to rehab. But if you're not strengthening yourself, men, you're going to atrophy. And personally, it happened to me because last year, I had this pain in my right knee, and I don't know why it was happening. I just couldn't think of a reason why, but I think it's a slightly torn meniscus in my right knee. But I was kind of not active when I think about it. The last like 2 or 3 years of my life. I wasn't going to the gym. I was just kind of going through the motions, just going to work. I worked in the truck a lot, so I was sitting a lot. So I wasn't like really doing any, like any squats or heavy lifting or things to strengthen my muscles. So right now, my right leg is actually weaker than my left leg, and it's like visibly noticeable. But for the past year, I've been having to rehab and really work hard to get this leg back in shape. And the pain has gone away 90% of the time. But back then, it was like, man, this hurts 100% of the time. But it's because I had a muscle imbalance. I had, you know, this pain because my muscles weren't strong. So if you don't go to the weight room, try to get a gym membership. Even though you're not feeling any pain right now, it's going to sneak up on you. You might start to atrophy, okay? Now, what are some other examples of things that might atrophy? Maybe your memory. This kind of creeps up on the elderly. Your memory might become dull, or it's not as sharp as it used to be. So if you want to keep up on your memory, read lots of books, listen to sermons, preach the gospel. That's going to keep you sharp. It really is. So the elderly, don't neglect doing God's work. Read your Bible. Go preach the gospel and keep your mind sharp, because you don't want to lose that in the latter ages of your life. Some other things, your relationships might atrophy. Your personal habits might atrophy. We can become desensitized to sin. We can have a weak conscience. Our morals start to atrophy. So if you have enough exposure to sin, if you do this sin long enough, your conscience might atrophy. Like, this isn't as bad. You know, it's not really affecting me, but it's going to catch up to you sooner than you think. Okay. So we need to be very cautious of keeping the commandments and not letting ourselves go. Turn to Matthew chapter 13. Now, spiritually speaking, I just went through a lot of carnal things, your memory, your muscles, your habits. Spiritually speaking, we can start to atrophy with our Bible reading. We can start to atrophy with our church attendance, our prayer, our soul winning. So we shouldn't let these things slip in our Christian life. And part of the reason why is because we're just hearing the Word of God only. We're not putting it into practice. We're not doing it. So if we actually read our Bible, if we actually attend church when the doors are open, if we actually pray, if we actually go soul winning, we're not going to destroy ourselves in atrophying and in declining in our spiritual walk. Now look at Matthew chapter 13, verse 22. This is what Jesus says in the parable of the sower. Matthew 13, verse 22. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. Okay, I love this verse because it really shines a light on, you know, you may be saved, you might have heard the word of God, but if you just care about this world, if you just care for riches and money, and that's all you're serving, it's going to choke the word. And Jesus Christ says you're going to become unfruitful. Now, what is the whole goal here? Is to bring forth fruit unto God. And that's how we glorify God, is bringing forth fruit unto him. And it's possible for a Christian to become unfruitful. And that should be very scary. Now, the reason why we want to come to church is to hear the word of God. But we should put that into practice, and Steadfast Baptist Church does a great job at that. But you should be very, very cautious of becoming unfruitful, okay? Go on missions trips. Plan for those trips. Go soul winning. Do all these things. You're not going to atrophy if you do. Now turn to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. Look at verse 2. It says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. There's that word unfruitful again. Now, what is it saying? It says, hey, you're saved. Just add to your faith virtue. Add to your faith knowledge. If you add to your faith Bible reading and soul winning and all these works, you won't be barren. You won't be unfruitful. You will be a fruitful Christian. And I love that. Verse 9, but he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. That's good right there. If you do these things, seems really simple. It's easy to say, but it's hard to do. It's hard to bear our cross every day. It's hard to follow Jesus every day. It's hard to read our Bible. It's hard to go soul winning every week. But if you do these things, ye shall never fall. And if you love God, if you love this church, I believe that you will do these things. Because if you love Jesus, he says, keep my commandments. If you truly love Jesus, you will keep the commandments. And he says, you shall never fall. That's amazing. I mean, I don't want to fall as a Christian. I've been a Christian for too long now that if I fall, that would be devastating. That would be a shame. And you could probably say the same thing. Hey, I've been going to Steadfast Baptist Church for 10 years now, 5 years now, 3 years now. And if you fall, everyone's going to see it, and it's going to be a shame. And you didn't only just, you know, disappoint your brethren, but you're going to disappoint God. And it is very possible that he may punish you on this earth and chastise you. Because if you are a child of God, all are partakers of his chastisement. So it's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of the living God. So do the works, and you will be blessed. And let's turn to Titus chapter 3, verse 8. Titus chapter 3, verse 8. Now, why did I preach on this topic? You know, I've heard the sermon over and over again. Pastor Shelley already, you know, preached the sermon. It's all about the works. I already know I should do works. Well, part of a Christian is having reminders. Aren't we reminded daily and renewed daily in the inward man of these things? And if you don't want to fall, you need to be renewed daily of doing works, serving God. And what does Titus verse 3, chapter 3, verse 8 say? This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly. I mean, how often do we need to hear this doctrine? Constantly. All the time. Maybe every sermon. There's a lot of stuff in the Bible, but this is a big topic. And this is a vital doctrine for the Christian, that he does the Word of God. Let's not just show up to church and do nothing about it. Let's not just talk to our brethren, talk about doctrine, and do nothing about it. Let's plan trips. Let's plan so many marathons. Let's get people saved and do the work. It says, I will that thou affirm constantly that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. No, we have to maintain a lot in our lives. We have to maintain the children. We have to maintain the house. We have to maintain the car. We have to maintain at our work, our business, our finances. I mean, the list goes on of all the things we have to do to provide and to live a Christian life, but don't forget the works. Don't forget the Saturday soul winning time. Don't forget your midweek soul winning time. And don't forget your Bible reading and prayer and all the things that you could be doing for God. And don't squander your opportunity. Don't waste it. And, I mean, I hope that you keep coming to church. I mean, a lot of people are faithful to church. Amen. A lot of people come here to hear the Word of God, and that's exactly what you should be doing, to be put in remembrance of the fear of God and keeping the commandments. But never waste the opportunity that you have here at Steadfast Baptist Church. One of the main reasons why I came to this church is because I see the work that you guys are doing. I see the work that you're putting in. I mean, the numbers are astonishing. I mean, you go on missions trips and you come back with over 100 salvations. I mean, here in this area alone is so receptive compared to where I came from. It's unbelievable. I mean, I would go sometimes 2 months without seeing a salvation. Going out faithfully every week. And people just don't want to talk up in Washington. I believe Washington is the most unchurched state out of all 50 states. I mean, it's very ungodly, very dark. I mean, we lived in Vancouver, Washington. As soon as you drive over the bridge into Portland, there's like this spiritual darkness. I'm not kidding. Like, everyone you talk to up there, as soon as they go into Portland and come back, there's like a breath of fresh air as soon as you get back over the bridge. It's like, man, that place is wicked. There's something dark about it. I don't know what it is, but you can just feel it. You're vexed. But people just don't want to talk. And as soon as I get down here, people are more friendly. People are willing to talk to you. And you need to realize that you don't want to take that for granted, that you live in an amazing part of the country. People want to talk. People are receptive. Don't waste that. Go out soul winning, read your Bible, and stay on top of it as a Christian. All right, that's all I have. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for Steadfast Baptist Church. I thank you for all the works that we do here. I pray, Lord, that you would just help us to recognize and realize that we should not take this for granted and that we should do what the Word of God says. Thank you so much for your perfectly preserved word. Thank you for everything that you've given us in this life, all the blessings. And I pray that we would stay diligent and steadfast, and that we would always be abounding in the work of the Lord. Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen.
Amen. All right, for our last song, we're going to go to song number 173 in your hymnals. Love Lifted Me, song number 173. Song 173, Love Lifted Me.